This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I am so happy here as we're getting ready for Christmas that I have a wonderful, wonderful author, artist, and singer, and it is a real honor to welcome Kevin B. Edwards to the program, and the name of his book is Kevin Turns Fear into Feet. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay. This is so exciting. You know, a few weeks ago, I already played your songs. Particularly, I was so impressed when I heard Silent Night, and we're going to play both of your songs in a little while. But I want to talk about this wonderful children's book that you've written. It is so good, and I just, I love anyone who wants to reach children and get them to read. And we have on our program, we have Devon Miller, who does book buzzes and who does promotions for books. And we're going to play the promotion that he did for your book in a little while. But tell us about yourself and about how you came out with this idea for a book, well, with your name on it.
Right. Well, my name is Kevin Edwards, and I live here in Agworth, Georgia, which is probably about 15 minutes north of South Atlanta. I've been working, I started writing, the first book I wrote, I started writing back in 2013. And so I knew it was something I wanted to do because I love writing. Writing is therapeutic to me. And so I when I started writing, I was like, oh, I can't put this down. You know, I just want to keep writing. So that's how it started in 2013. But let me tell you a little bit about myself in terms of, like, I'm a singer as well. You mentioned that. I'm a singer. I've been singing since I was 8 years old. I have 2 CDs out. I think I sent you music to, I think the current CD, but I released some music back in 2021 during the pandemic. That was my music. And before the pandemic, I want to share this. I was last year in 2019, I was in Italy, touring all over the northern parts of Italy, Switzerland. We flew down to Sicily. We went all over Italy touring. We had 18 shows. In Italy and Switzerland. And so that's kind of my musical background. But now this book, I actually was working on a memoir. And I have probably about 8 chapters of my memoir completed. And I was going to put this story in my memoir. I was going to put maybe 2 paragraphs or 3 talking about what happened to me when I was in the 10th grade. And I was introduced to this young third grader, and she said she wanted to sing and she wanted to write music. And the person that introduced me to her wanted me to encourage her. He kind of gave us some advice on what she needed to do. And as I was talking with her, the spirit that lived within me told me that she had been bullied like I was when I was in school. And so I listened to her story. When she finished talking, I heard the spirit say, I need you to take your story. I know it happened to you in the 10th grade, but I need you to write it in a child's perspective, and I want you to present it to this child and to help her and to let her know that no matter what she's going through now, in the end, she's going to be okay. And so immediately, I got started writing this children's book. I wrote, like I told you, I was going to put it in my memoir, so I knew the storyline, so I wrote the story in probably a good 2 days. I had the whole storyline written, and then after I did the storyline, I got it edited. 2 or 3 people read it, and they loved it. And they started. The only problem I had when I would write for Kevin, I wrote like an adult, And so they were telling me, they said, no, you got the word. Kevin wouldn't say that. So you need to change some of those words. So we did that. We changed that. Once I got the story edited, then I looked for an illustrator. And at first, I put a message on Facebook, and I asked anyone who knew of an illustrator that had, you know, a reasonable price, you know, illustrator, send them my way. And so, of course, I got all these messages. And then I got this one person from here in Atlanta that sent me this guy's information. I called him and sent him my manuscript. And he said, I love the storyline, and I would love to work with you. But his price was a little it was pricey, more than what I wanted to pay. And so I went about 2 days thinking, okay, well, I need to find someone else, you know, to do it, because I really don't want to pay that much for the illustration. And this person out of the Philippines contacted me. I didn't know him. Evidently, he was friends with somebody that I knew on my Facebook page, and he got my information, sent me the information, and said that he would love to work with me. And so I sent him my manuscript, and he looked over it and everything, sent me a sketch of what the main character would look like. I loved it. It's what you see on the front cover of the book. And the rest is history. He worked with me. He's actually in the process of doing my second book.
Well, he is fantastic. His name, of course, is George Franco. And
Franco.
He captured, it is such a great illustration of Kevin on the cover. The expression on his face, it's so sweet. It's so engaging. I mean, you just when you see this cover, you just have to grab the book and open it up. And then, of course, read the wonderful story that you wrote. And all of the illustrations that George did are beautiful. Really, they capture your book. It was like he was crawling inside you and just understood where you were going.
He did something at the end. I never forget when I got the illustration. He sent me like half of the illustrations, and then I loved them. And then he says, okay, I'm going to send you the last part of the book. And I said, okay. So he sent the illustrations. And the last page was a page with a banner that had a welcome sign. And at first, when I looked at it, I was like, why does he got, okay, the story was talking about Black history. So shouldn't he have like a Black history banner or something like that? That's what I was thinking. And so I was almost to call him or send him a message, an email, and let him know, you know, what was the welcome sign about? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, my God, this is a subliminal message. And he's saying that no matter what I've gone through, you know, I thought the people would not receive me, but they did receive me. I'm welcome into this new world. And so I understood what that last page meant. And so, like you just said, every illustration, like, it speaks volumes to what I was saying in writing. He did it so brilliantly, and I'm telling you, every book that I have, he will be illustrating for me.
Oh, you found yourself a treasure. You know, when I talk about joy on paper, you discovered joy on paper, the joy of writing and seeing your words on paper, and George has done a terrific job of just crawling in there with you. And
yes.
It is beautiful. It is, the illustrations are fantastic.
Yes. I love it.
I love it too.
The next book I'm on, because it's going to be a series of books. Like Kevin Turns Fear into Feet was first. And then the next thing I'm going to go, about 7 years ago was the first time I went to Hawaii. And when I had just released my CD, my second CD. And one of the radio announcers in Tallahassee, Florida, knew the radio announcer in Honolulu, and I was going on vacation. And so he called him. It was the only gospel radio station in Honolulu. He called him and told him I was coming. And so they set up an interview for me when I got there. One of my friends who lives in Honolulu picked me up at the airport, took me to the radio station. We did a radio interview. He played my music all over Hawaii. And then we were on a cruise, and I'll never forget, I got on the ship that night, and they had said they had a star search competition. And so my mom said, are you going to do it? I said, no, I'm tired, because we've flown 10 hours. I'm tired. And so I thought I had missed it. But then the next night, they had another star search. And so I went. And, of course, I won the whole thing. I was able to sing for the whole ship. they gave me a trophy. And so what I'm going to do with the next story, Kevin's Hawaii Big Win, is the title of the book.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell that whole story about what happened in Hawaii.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, this is going to be so exciting.
Yes.
So... So you're singing, you're touring. I want to play, because I've been teasing people that, you know, about the music. I want to play the first song, and you can introduce it, For My Good. Tell us a little bit about how you came out with the song, and then we're going to play that song.
Okay, kind of quickly to tell you, I had went through a period where I wasn't singing at all. I had stopped singing. I went through a period where I didn't see the promises of God, the things that God had promised me, or I thought they were not coming. And so I had kind of stopped, and this producer called me and asked me would I come by and do this home session he does at his home for a lot of different artists. And I told him, I said, well, I don't have any music. And he says, well, sing one of your old songs. So I took an old song, and I sang it. And when I left, he said, well, you know, before I left, he said, you need to do another CD and do some more music. The world needs to hear you. And when I left, I told him, I said, well, I'll think about it. And so when I left, it was like I said yes to God again, and he started giving me lyrics. For My Good was the first song that he gave me. And the essence of the song is, you know, like everything that you go through life and you don't understand what's going on. And now I see clearly, I see all the things that I had to go through to get to this point, you know, and even with the book, you know, like I had to go through being bullied as a child to help this student, this child, this third grader. And so it's the same thing with the music. So I wrote that song. The lyrics came out from God in my car one day, talking about, you know, it was for my good. Everything that has happened to me in my life is for my good, and God is going to continue to bless me.
Okay, we're going to play this song now, and I know people will be as moved by it as I was the first time I heard it, and I've been playing it quite often. It's now on my playlist. So let's go ahead and play For My Good.
Sometimes I feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. Sometimes I can't hardly face another day. I am assured that God will see me through. It's working for my good. It's working for my good. Sometimes the clouds hang low. Change for me. I am assured that God will see me through. It's working for my good. It's working for my good.
I'm minor like my struggle, but it's working for my good.
Wow. Oh,
yes.
That is so beautiful. And it's as good as any Grammy Award winner. I'm telling you, this is fantastic. I hope that people notice you. And this song is so relatable and so memorable. It's brilliant.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well,
yes, they came from my heart.
Well, it shows. Let's talk for a few minutes about this gospel tour you did in Europe. That must have been pretty exciting for you.
Oh my God, that was amazing. That was the best ever. It was like, I had this promoter here in Atlanta. She heard me sing about 3 years ago, and they had called me about helping a group that was going over about 3 years ago. No, 4 years ago. A group was going over and they needed a tenor. And so they called me and asked me, you know, was I busy for the Christmas holiday? And I told them no. And they said, would you like to go over to Italy? And I said, oh, of course. And so I went to the rehearsal. But the problem is they canceled the tour because I think the money or something in Italy, something happened with the funds. And so they canceled it. But this promoter heard my voice at the rehearsal. And so she called me, and she says, okay, she said, I want to send you to Italy. She said, because I love your voice. She said, you're anointed. And she says, and I would love to see you. So I said, okay. And so 2 years went by. And in 2019, she called me, and there was a group of us. It was me, Sonia Williams. She was the headliner for the group. Yvonne Matthews from Mobile, Alabama, and Sonia Daniels. And so it was four of us that went together as a group. All three of them could play the piano, so they played all the music, and all we did was sing. So we started in Rovigo, Italy, which is like the northern region of Italy, and we went all over different parts. And then we flew down to Sicily, and we sang in Sicily. We were there for like 2 or 3 days, and then we flew back, and then we went to Switzerland.
Wow.
And then, when I tell you beautiful, it was awesome.
Well, I know how exciting it must have been. You know, for Americans, when we get to those countries, of course, I've been to Italy and Sicily. I love Sicily. And to get up to Switzerland, I can just imagine what a thrill it was for you.
Oh, it was. And everything, I remember when we were in Switzerland, because I had seen many pictures of Switzerland, you know, like and I had been to Italy because I had gone to Italy. My family had gone to Italy that summer. We had gone on a Mediterranean cruise. And so I had already been to Italy. I'd been to Rome twice. And so I had already seen that, but I had never been to Switzerland. And so I never forget when we got to Switzerland, and I was looking. I was like, oh, my God, this looks just like the magazines and the books I've seen, the snow and people skiing and all.
Well, that's so exciting. Well, you know, you are so accomplished. Of course, I want to mention, of course, that, you know, you went to college and you have a degree in psychology.
Yes.
So I think that also plays well for you when you're writing these books and certainly understanding what Kevin went through or what you went through being bullied. And so that's why I think your writing is so touching and really reaches into the heart of the problem and how to, you know, hopefully get to kids and make them understand just how they can exactly do that, change fear into feet. You know, when I started this program, I was terrified of public speaking. nobody in my family would have believed it because I was so shy and I couldn't talk. in a group, and now I'm on the radio program. So, you know, strange things happen in this world, and I think you've just got such a wonderful attitude. So we're going to play the Book Buzz, a special promo for your book, and then I'm going to come back. I want to, of course, it's Christmas time, and we want to play Silent Night. I want my audience to hear it. It is one of the most beautiful versions of Silent Night I have ever heard. But first, let's play Devon Miller. Okay, we'll play the Book Buzz.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. The holidays are coming up, and that means you might hear some Christmas carolers outside your window. Maybe you might even hear Kevin from the book Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, because Kevin is a great singer. Before Kevin had the courage to sing for a big crowd, it took him a while to conquer his fear. Written by Kevin B. Edwards and illustrated by George Franco, Kevin Turns Fear into Feet tells the story of Kevin, who's a bit scared to sing in a school program because his teacher asked him to. With a story similar to the character of Kevin in the book, the author was inspired to write the book after a teacher brought a third grade student to him who sings. The author's first impression was that she lacked confidence and self-esteem. Due to the author meeting the student, he wrote the book to honor her. Overcoming his own fear, Kevin B. Edwards is now an international gospel singer. This book serves as a great help for kids to overcome their fears and insecurities. When reading Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, I think kids will turn their own fears into feet. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, Kevin, how did you like that?
I was standing up listening. I was like, oh my God, wow. It's an honor just to hear someone read or say anything about my book. I'm overwhelmed.
Well, Devon Miller is just a fantastic young man. He was a guest on my program. He writes a series called Mr. Tickety Tock Clock. And when he came into the studio and I heard his voice, I said, right then and there, I said, oh, Devon, you have to do some book buzz promotions for children's books. And so he started last January, so he's done 12 children's books this year. And it's such a thrill for me to have him join me here on Joy on Paper. And of course, he loved doing this one for your book because it is a book that also touched his heart. So we will continue to play. What we do is with these book buzzes, we play them often. We don't, because a book comes out and people forget. And so we will play this book buzz many times over the next year. We'll play it often so that people will be reminded of what a wonderful book you have written. And it's called Kevin Turns Fear into Feet. And your website is very nice. Tell people what it is.
It is www.kevinbedwards.com. Very simple.
And it's really nice. It's got all the information about Kevin and about his books, his work, some songs that you can listen to and download, and how to get everything. Of course, the book is available online, and I want people to get this book. If you don't have a child in your family, please buy this book and send it to your local. All you have to do is send it to one of your local children's hospitals or to St. Jude's or Shriners, because children in hospitals need books. And at this time of the year particularly, so you don't even have to do, it's real easy. If you have an Amazon account, just put in and have the books shipped directly to the hospital. And you can buy one or you could buy 10, because the children are not allowed to share books in hospitals anymore. So the hospitals are really short of books. And if you can, you want to do something wonderful for Christmas or any time of the year, order children's books and have them sent directly to the hospital. And Kevin, I think you are wonderful. I know this book will encourage children who get it and make them feel better. And I'm just amazed with you. Just thrilled.
Right. I've gotten that so much. This has been a blessing to me. I never would have thought that it would have gone this way. I was just writing it for the student, you know, trying to help her. And it has just gone, taken a whole new, it's on Walmart.com. It's on Etsy.com, Amazon. It's just doing, it's in Hawaii. When I went back to Hawaii in September. I took it to the public libraries, so they have it there. They have it at a school in Honolulu.
Well, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And I hope that the Grammy Award people are listening and will definitely, you know, check out your work because it is fantastic. And I think For My Good is such a memorable song. And I could see you up there on the stage getting a Grammy Award. So I hope so. I pray so because, you know, you've done a lot. You found God. You found joy on paper. And you're sharing that joy. And that's what is important.
Yes, it is. That's what it's all about.
Okay, so we're going to go out now. But I need to play Silent Night for everybody. Listen to this version. I think it's one of the best versions of Silent Night I've ever heard. And I, again, Kevin, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. You're definitely coming back. As soon as you... Exactly. You're going to be back. So you keep in touch with me as soon as you have the second book ready, okay? And say hi to George, too, for me.
So, I will. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Called him the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Because you see, 700 years prior, it had been prophesied a child would come out of the city of David to save the whole world from its sins. On this special night, Mary and Joseph were told there was no room in the inn for this special baby boy to be born. That night was not only a special night, but it was a holy night. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Holy night. Holy night. My Savior was born in Bethlehem.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest. I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Donna Perry, and the wonderful book that she has written, which is really a Christmas classic. It is called The Muttcracker, and it is one of the sweetest and most adorable Christmas books that I've ever seen. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Patsy, and thank you so much for having me back this holiday season.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's been such a hectic time, and I'm sort of laying out my Christmas books, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, I didn't speak to Donna, and I want to, because I want to tell people that this book is so adorable, and you've just done such a great job with it, and people can still order it in time, and also it's available on Kindle, so it's a story that you can read to kids, and just they'll get such a kick out of it. So tell us about this, you know, for all the dog lovers out there and all the people who just love, they go crazy about this book.
I'm glad you are, and I hope that they will be, too. I'm glad you called it a classic, because that's how I think of it. I think of it as, like, the night before Christmas, and, of course, the Nutcracker Ballet. People flock to that every December. They want to see the music, or the dancers. They want to hear the music. And the Nutcracker, of course, is the storyline of the Nutcracker Ballet, but it's been reimagined as a children's book, and it features 15 different breeds of dogs. So just about everybody can find their pup in this book. And the best part is I found a wonderful illustrator for the book who is a pet portrait artist. So each one of the illustrations that features a different breed of dog is very well done, and it looks very true to the breed. So if you have a Chihuahua or a Dachshund or a German Shepherd or a Poodle, you can find your dog in the pages of the book, in a costume, of course. Of course. So, it is a gift-quality book. It's a hardcover. It's nicely illustrated. And I do hope that people will bring it out year after year even when the kids are grown, a decoration under the tree.
Exactly. It is beautiful. You know, the years go so quickly, and it's been such a crazy time. And I know, I don't know, at the time when I spoke to you, I wanted you to make sure that you got out there and tried to get it done as a stage play. I don't know how successful you've been because, you know, we haven't been able to have events for this second Christmas in a row. I mean, they're closing down Radio City, so I can, when they close down, everything, it's difficult. But this is such a wonderful story, and you've done it so beautifully. Has anyone taken it to the stage yet?
No. I have thought about that. I started writing it. I'm not really a screenplay writer, but as you mentioned, it would be great for a school play, plenty of parts for children, and costumes and just small bits of choreography that don't have to be too dramatic or complicated. So that is something I do need to follow up on this year. Of course, last year was tough. There really wasn't a lot going on. People were still staying inside. There weren't very many book signings and things of that sort. This year, we did see a break in that, and people are starting to come out. I'm hoping that next year we'll find even more opportunities to get together with one another. But, hopefully there won't be strains that give us a setback.
I know. Tell us about some of the characters and how you've played around with them.
Well, the main magician who orchestrates all of the happenings in the Nutcracker scene is in the ballet called Drosselmeyer. Well, my character is called Drolmeister. And he is a large Great Dane. He wears a black cap and a patch over one eye, so he's very mysterious, and he's the one who orchestrates the midnight goings-on. Let's see. Our two main characters, Clara and Fritz, are German shepherds. And then, I've got poodles. I've got a golden retriever, a greyhound, an Irish water spaniel, a Cavalier King Charles spaniel, Chihuahua, Dachshund, Cocker spaniel, Fox terriers, a Samoyed for the winter scene, so and an Afghan hound. So we've got a little bit of everything.
Well, I think E.T.A. Hoffman would love this. I think he would love it too. I think it's in the spirit in which the play was written and which the music was written, because it is delightful. And for parents, I think this is one of those books where you want to read it aloud, and you use different voices, and you just sort of act it out. It's one of those books that when you're doing it and you're reading, and there's nothing more wonderful than reading to a child, the look that they get in their eyes when you get into character, and with this book you can really get into character and have lots of fun. And for many kids, of course, they have stuffed dogs that they can use right there while the story is being told. So it's just, I thought it was so clever. It would make a wonderful, wonderful cartoon if somebody would, if anybody out there knows a group that makes cartoons, there's still people who do cartoons. This would be such a delightful thing to animate. I would love to see it animated.
And it has a wonderful soundtrack already for it.
Yes.
Without any work.
Exactly. And
funny, I went to see the Bolshoi Ballet production of The Nutcracker the other night, and as I'm watching these beautifully classically trained ballets, I'm picturing dogs.
Well, funnily enough, I do too now. After reading the book for the past couple of years when I've watched The Nutcracker on PBS. I think of you, and I think of how delightful it would be. And as you said, for children's in school, it would be so wonderful. I can imagine them wearing, you know, just being dressed as the different dogs, having so much fun. It would be really a rollicking version of Nutcrackers. You know, I think they would love it. And
would be.
It would. It, Nutcracker, the name of the book is Nutcracker, and I want people to check that out. And meanwhile, tell us a little bit about what else you've been doing, because you've been doing some more writing.
I have. And just so you know, the Nutcracker does have his own Facebook page.
Oh.
So listeners can go to Facebook and search for The Nutcracker.
Okay.
Find him there and also be able to order books through that site. But the other thing that I did, it's my COVID book. I think a lot of authors kind of buckled down and did some additional writing last year. And I decided, as a baby boomer, that I wanted to write about that journey that all of us have taken, that 50-year journey from your teens to being in your 60s. So my book is called 60s, A Journey Through and To, and it's about growing up in the 1960s and then finding yourself all of a sudden in your 60s. And most baby boomers can relate to that. You know, there's a lot of changes that occur during that year. During those years, you respond to some of these essays. Most of them are essays. They're personal essays that I've written. And although they're my story, I'm sure that boomers can read these stories and say, you know, I did the same thing, or I went through the same thing, or maybe I handled it differently. But these stories talk about fashions and food and families and, you know, being a teen and then being a parent and then being a grandparent and how your observations of life change during those times. So I'm hoping that boomers could take a look at these essays, and there's a couple, you know, stories, a couple poems in there as well, and maybe feel like that they can relate to these. The other thing I've done is put a few blank pages in the back, because what I found is that adult children listen to their elderly parents talking about their youth and telling stories about their youth, and they say, you should write a book. And, you know, mom and dad are saying, I'm not really cut out for writing a book. So I wanted to give them a little leg up on that process. They can take a look at my book, The 60s, and read similar stories. Maybe they can underline and say, yeah, I did this. And then in the back, if my stories jog their memory, they can write their own little vignettes in the back to give their children a little something to say, you know, here's what mom and dad wrote about their youth in the 60s.
Well, I think that's a very clever idea. Of course, on the cover, you have a little bit of psychedelic, a reminder of our psychedelic years. I had, of course, a psychedelic T-shirt. I think exactly with that same design.
The tie-dye is very popular. And it's funny because I bought a tie-dye pattern for my cell phone cover. And I'm thinking, this is such a difference between the tie-dye of the 60s and putting it on the cell phone, which is more recent. But I actually took a photo of that cell phone cover, and that's what's on the cover.
Ah, okay. Well, it looks good, and it does remind us of those days. And as a matter of fact, when I, before this COVID thing, and when I was still working in Sunday school, one of the projects I did with the kids is it mostly gave me a thrill. I got T-shirts for them, and we did tie-dye T-shirts. They said, how did you know how to do this? I said, oh boy, it takes me back a few years, but my girlfriends and I used to do these all the time. We made so many, and it brings back fond memories. I think that's a wonderful thing. And as you said, some people, you know, feel they can't. And I think that was so clever to add those extra pages. And maybe people, as they write their first story, they'll write a little essay in your book, will say, well, you know, there is a lot of joy on paper, and actually write a book.
Exactly. I think that would be awesome to know that I helped to generate some interest in actually creating a book for themselves or for their family.
Because it is a treasure to be able to hand down your writing. I wish so much, you know, I sometimes think my particularly one of my grandmothers was absolutely fascinating woman, and she was full of stories, lots of stories, and she had so many ideas, and I wish that she had written them down, and I wish I had been smart enough when I was young to write them all down myself. Now, I remember some of them, and of course, one of them was that she had a goat who followed her around like a puppy dog. And the goat didn't like my grandfather, and the goat would chase my grandfather up a tree. And
oh, goodness.
There were so many wonderful stories, and she pretended she didn't speak English. She only spoke English to me. She spoke English beautifully, but she pretended she could only understand Finnish. And I think partly it was because she liked overhearing conversations. And mentally, I think she was always, you know, writing a book. And in those days, of course, they didn't, you know, it didn't happen. But people, I think this is a wonderful little book. It's called, 60s.
60s, A Journey Through and to.
Exactly. And back in time, a little bit back in time. And it will, and it is just, it's just a cute book, and all the little stories are wonderful. I think you've done a beautiful job, Donna, really great. And I hope people will get that book. And then you still have time, get the Mutt Cracker and make sure that you read it to kids. And if you don't have kids in your family, send it to Shriners or St. Jude's or your local children's hospital as a gift. You can order it and just have it shipped directly to the hospital.
That's an awesome idea. I really like that. You know, it's funny because I think the biggest market for the Mutt Cracker book has been adult children. They're the ones who are affluent enough to spend a lot of money on their dogs. And when they see the book and when they see their dog represented in the book, it's like, I want it.
Oh, exactly. They love it. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I just
have more books to the dogs, I think, than I have to kids and people.
Well, it's a wonderful book, Donna. And I, again, thank you so much for joining me today on Joy and Paper. I'm happy that I get to remind people about this book, and it is, I think it is a classic. It is a kind of book that will be selling, and definitely we have to keep it promoting it. But, you know, 100 years from now, it'll be as relevant as the Nutcracker Suite will always be relevant. But I also hope that somebody will listen. And if you know anyone who really wants to get into illustration, because there are a lot of people who want to get into doing you know, little videos and doing cartoons. This is a perfect book to start on. So if you're just starting off, or you're an art, you know, you're a multimedia student in a college, and you're looking for a project, contact Donna Perry. And do you have a website?
Well, I have DonnaPerry.com, and they can go there and they'll find links.
And anyway, get in contact with Donna, and why not turn this into a video production? Oh, it would be so much fun. And I would,
sure would.
If I was still working in Sunday school, I would turn it into a Sunday school program, because it would be a wonderful play. And I think it's so wonderful for children to act in plays. They learn a lot about discipline and about, well, in this case, about music and about using words to express ideas. And you've done a beautiful job with The Muttcracker by Donna Perry. And I just, again, want to thank you for joining me today on Joy on Paper.
Thank you for having me. And, Patsy, I promise you I'm going to work on that screenplay so that kids can do this as they play in schools. That would be awesome.
It is. It will be. And I will be right there in the audience when it happens, okay?
I'm glad that.
Okay. Well, you have a very, very Merry Christmas. And, again, thank you so much for this brilliant little book that will bring a lot of smiles to children and to adults, too.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Donna.
Bye.
Wow. She is so wonderful. She is so wonderful. And this book is delightful. If you love dogs, and you really, even if you don't have kids, get this book. You get a kick out of each of the dogs has a personality. Oh, boy, they have personality. They have personalities in this book. And you'll find your dog and your favorite dog in this book. It's wonderful. It's really delightful. And it's the kind of book you want, like, if you, well, I hope people can have visitors again at Christmas. If you have it, people at Christmas, they'll sit down and they'll read it right there under the Christmas tree. It's a wonderful book. Wow, the time went quickly. Again, take a moment to thank Glenn Erickson for supporting Joy on Paper and for his support of the Red Cross. After the terrible tornadoes, I want everybody to listen to what Glenn Erickson always says, support the Red Cross and send your donations. And particularly now for all the people who went through the tornado, it's going to be a terrible, terrible Christmas for them. And your donations and Glenn Erickson's promotion is something I want you to think about. And also, Larson and Larson, thank you again for promoting Joy on Paper. And Bill Larson and your wife, Mickey, I hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas. And make sure that you always remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. Say Merry Christmas, and really Merry Christmas. I say Merry Christmas to everybody, and I say Merry Christmas to Big Ed in the control room, and he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him, because I should have been a general, and then I could have given a speech in front of the whole army and wished them all of our wonderful, wonderful people who serve in our military a very, very Merry Christmas to all. Bye-bye now.